Hello, and welcome back to another episode of HCA Third Culture Kid, where I share my thoughts, experiences, and conversations as a third culture kid. God, every time I do that intro is a moment of reflection of whether I have shared experiences that are truly reflective of a third culture kid. And I don't think that's been the case. But by definition, I guess third culture kids all have different experiences, and this is just my experience. Okay, so as promised, I wanted to take this episode to discuss the changes I made between the first semester and the second semester. I did get higher grades in the second semester than my first semester, so I thought it'd be helpful for prospective law school students to glean or to assess for themselves from my like what things that I did might be helpful for them, because there's definitely not a one size fits all. Everybody studies differently. Some things work for others that don't work for some people. So, yeah. I think also just recently, to share some thoughts on what has happened recently. I've been interviewing for law firms. This is around the time that my school's employment program occurs. So this is a time when students are going to interview for law firms, and then they get set up for like a summer internship for the following year, which usually then translates to a return offer. So recruiting right now during this period is akin to recruiting for your full-time job after graduation. So it is pretty important. I'm speaking in the terms of private law firm employment, not in terms of like public interest jobs, which are pretty much organizations that, so public interest jobs are going to be organizations that do public interest things, which as the name suggests, are for the public good, or generally more quote-unquote benevolent for society. Representing indigent people who don't have the means, working at a district attorney's office, working at, governmental office, like that sort of thing, like for the public. And then the private law firm route, which is what like 70 to 80% of the law students at Columbia do, is like big law firms that generally represent corporations. And then, of course, the salary then for like big law firms is generally a lot more than public interest jobs. Anyway, I'm going through that process, doing the private law firm route, or at least recruiting for the private law firms for now. And we are just like wrapping up, I think, the early application cycle, which is called EAP. And that's where you like bid for like five firms. You like rank five firms that you're interested in. Columbia then sends this list of five firms, your resume. If the firms like you, then they will reach out back to you to schedule a screener interview, which is like a 15 to 20 minute interview with a partner or an associate at a law firm. And then if you pass the screener, then they invite you for a final round of callback interviews, which is a slate of different interviewers ranging from partners to associates. So I finished a good round of that. It's exhausting, especially while trying to balance that with my internship. Because in the regular EIP recruiting stage, which is the regular recruiting round, not the early one, you can bid to up to like 40 firms. Bid meaning list 40 firms that you're interested in. And then it's a lot more, but you are generally not going to be in your internship while you're going through that recruiting process. So it's a different kind of challenge. Anyway, I'll share that in a completely different podcast episode at some point. Right. But the theme of today's episode is my changes from the first semester to the second semester. And I want to stay on topic, although the recruiting process has been quite preoccupying. It's consumed my life in many ways. I thought five firms will not be that much, but Yeah, you have to do research about the firm, practice for the interviews a little bit, schedule around your internship hours, and I have to work in person, so I can't like do something in the middle of the day, and yeah, it's more difficult to do something in the middle of the day, so I have to schedule around my internship hours, which is not a great strategy, I think, because that means I'm gonna either catch them really early in the morning where they're. I think that's not bad actually. Being the first one to be interviewed is not bad because they're not tired. But most of my interviews have been like later in the day and you catch them at a bad hour. I don't know if that has an impact or not. But for interviewing strategy, I think it's best if you catch them right after lunch-ish or somewhere like between 10 to 12 a.m., 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., I think, when they're not fatigued. Anyway, I'll share another episode about that at some point. So I keep transgressing. Is that the right word? Transgressing? Digressing. Yeah, try that's a word. I keep digressing. So going back to the theme, let me just start on it so that I don't keep digressing. But first, semester, second semester changes. To recap, I think I shared a little bit in my first semester. To recap, I tried in my first semester to read every single case. When I say every single case, for the first month and I think a good part of the second month, probably half of the second month, I tried to read the footnotes of the case, the whole opinion of the case. Yeah. And then each class would assign like 30 pages a day-ish, three doctrinal classes. What does doctrinal mean? I think of them as like the core classes in law school. And then I had like one writing class. That was like a 2-unit class. I was like pass, no pass. So I didn't have any impact on the grades. But so 30 pages a class-ish on average, I'd say. So 90 pages a day for like 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, generally, that I had to have those readings done by. And I tried reading every case, assigns. Towards even the last month, I think I still tried reading every case. You know, there was a part of me that just wanted to do well on cold calls because I was just marveled at how good other people did in cold calls, and I was like, you know what, I want to have a day and a session where I knock the cold calls out of the park. I don't think I ever had that, unfortunately, but and it was a wasted effort, I think. But because I wanted to do that, I tried reading every case up to the last day of most of my classes, except for torts. God, how do I define torts? That's a funny word, right? I didn't know what that was when I first heard it in law school. But torts is like wrongs that people suffer that is not covered by contracts or criminal law. It's more like civil harms. So, like if you commit murder, that's something that the state is going to prosecute for on the behalf of the people of that district or the community. But torts can be like between private people. Like let's say I hit person B, then that person can sue me for assault and battery. I think it's both assault and battery. Yeah. Battery is intent to harm and where in fact the harm has happened. So you have to prove the intent to harm and then also that the harm has actually happened. Oh yeah, it's like more, it's a little bit more fine than that. I think battery is like the intent to do the act and to intend to do the act and forget, like there are components to it. So the act to do something and the consequence to do something are two different things. The consequence may be the harm, like if I hit someone with my fist, the harm is the pain that someone or the harm that someone suffers with my fist. The act is actually the throwing of the fist. So the distinction is if I just throw my fist, I'm not always gonna harm someone, right? So if I attend the act of just throwing the fist, and then the harm actually happens. I don't necessarily have to have intended the harm. I only intend the act of throwing the fist to then constitute battery, I think. I might be wrong on that. But at the very least, yeah, it's been a while. When I say a while, only been, what, 6, 5 months? Actually, more. 7 months. We're in July. But yeah, the important thing is there's a distinction between intending each of those things that could lead to meaningful determinations of the lawsuit. Okay, that was another digression. But yeah, my point being, I didn't read, I think I gave you a little bit, a snippet of what torts is, but I didn't read all the cases for torts. You know, these were interesting cases. You know, these were harms that are happening to people. We also covered product liability, how companies and corporations would be liable for product failures or, yeah, malfunctioning products and various other things. But I didn't read, although the material was interesting, I didn't read all the cases. At some point, I used Quimby. Quimby is a resource that just summarizes the cases, just gives you a snapshot of the case by summarizing the holding, what the conclusion of the case was, and then the reasoning of the case, the facts of the case. Like a lot of law students use this resource. So I try to do that for torts. And then that's on reading the cases, my approach to reading the cases in the first semester. So in summary, try to read every case except for torts generally in the last month of the semester. And then I waited to take practice exams until classes were over generally in the first semester. And then third thing was I did not outline every week, but I waited to outline a little bit in October and then tried to regularly outline in November. By regularly, I think it was like at least every week I tried to outline in November. So yeah, I did not start out outlining every week. And outlining here means, again, creating that document. When I say again, it's because I referred to it in the prior episode. But outlining is creating that document that's going to summarize all the important content to you that you can use then in your final exam. So that, and you have to, that document, the traits of that document include organizing it well so that you can reference it easily while you're in an exam situation where you're under time pressure to be able to produce a nice final exam response in a very fast but quality manner. So that's what outlining is, the process of creating that document. So that's what I did my first semester. So three things: tried reading every case generally except for torture in the last month. Two, I waited to take practice exams until classes were over. And then three, I did not really outline every week, but I really waited to like outline starting in October-ish, and even that was like irregular-ish. I think like every 2 weeks or something. And then the last month I tried, like November, I tried to outline every week. And I really kicked it up in Thanksgiving. It still was not finished. So I wasn't finished with outlining until well into the final exam study period, which like began in December. Okay. So first semester didn't do that great, didn't do horribly. But didn't do as well as I have done in my undergrad. So I was a little bit surprised and I knew I had to adjust. So here were the adjustments that I made. First, I woke up, at least in the first month, I wanted to do this the whole way, but you know, it was difficult. I woke up at 4 a.m. in the first month. So every day, woke up at 4 a.m. in like February. And then in the second month, which was like March then, 5 a.m. And then more like 6 or 7 a.m. the third month. Yeah, I was regressing a little bit, but I was still waking up early. And the reason I did that was because after I wake up, I felt like I was the freshest and not as tired. So I had the most mental fuel and capacity to do something I really didn't like to do, which was reading cases. Which sounds like a red flag for someone to go to law school for, because that's what you do. You read a shit ton of cases in law school, and I knew that's what I was signing up for. I just didn't think I hated it that much or dislike it that much. I don't know if I hated it. It's just a lot of dry reading. And I think especially under the time pressure of trying to read all those cases, I did not enjoy doing something so passive. And if I tried to be an active reader, like highlighting and thinking about the stuff and annotating stuff, it took way too much time. So I woke up that early because the mental fuel I think I had the most right after I woke up, as opposed to doing it after classes. So that's what I planned to do, and I executed it that way. Also, in the morning, it's usually the quietest. I live in an apartment, classic apartment, you know, and there's noise all around. And it can get quite noisy, so it was harder to focus. And that can be quite detracting from what I want to do when I'm tired as well. So if I come back from classes at night and it's still noisy to an extent, then it just makes it that much harder to read. So that's why I try to wake up really early, generally in the second semester. And then when I woke up early, I try to set a time limit for reading cases. And that was naturally going to be my first class, which was a property class. So that usually was like in the morning-ish, that gave me around five. Well, yes, it takes me a while to commute. Like that gave me around 4 hours to read all my cases. And I read the cases the day of that they were due. So if I had like Pearson versus Post and some other cases due that day, even though it was assigned like a week before, I would do those readings on that day, just because I found that like if I read the cases like 3 days before, 4 days before, oh, that's also what I did like in my first semester. I read cases well in advance, like 4 days in advance or 3 days in advance, at least 2 days in advance. That's what I tried to do. But I realized that when I did that and I came to class the next few days, I would forget a lot of the cases and it would take me a while to catch up a little bit. So I just wanted to avoid that. So I just read the cases the day of. It's a little riskier, but worst that could happen is you get cold called and you just look embarrassing and it has no impact on your grades. And I was comfortable with that. So I set a time limit for reading cases, 3 to 4 hours at most every day. And even if I still didn't finish reading the cases, you know, I would still go to class. But this would, I think that time pressure also would allow or motivate me to read these cases as efficiently as possible and fast as possible. Instead of like dilly-dallying and delaying my reading and then telling myself I did this in the night. Like I have, what, 6 more hours until 6 a.m. or whatever it is. So I can like, I have all the time in the world. So I'll just take my time reading cases. But setting a time limit for myself for reading the cases and a natural one that I could not escape, which was like the beginning of my first class, it forced me to try to be as efficient as possible with the reading. So set a time limit for reading cases, what I did. And then generally, like that would mean then because I would have classes on Thursday, but not that many. And then Friday, you had no classes. I had no classes. I don't think anyone else in my law school had classes, with a few exceptions, I believe. And that meant that I could spend each of those days, most of Thursday, all of Friday, and then the weekend as well, just reviewing the material. And by reviewing the material, I would be able to internalize all the material more, which over the long run, doing that every week, was going to serve me very well come exam time. But also every week, especially Fridays, I would spend the time to outline, like build my outlines. Like I think it would take me 2 hours for each class around to summarize that, maybe even 3 hours, to summarize that class's material into an outline. So just transcribe my notes, condense them, summarize those notes into a format that I thought made sense, into language that would be easy to reference, recollect from, and understand, all that. Probably summarizing a week's worth of class material, 3 hours for that particular class on average. So every week I do that, you know. So Friday, 3 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours, just outlining, you know, doing another 3 hours sometimes was too much on that same day. So I would do it like on Saturday or Sunday. And sometimes, at least in the first month, I think I kept pace, but then in the second month, it might have not kept that like 9 hours of outlining for each of my classes schedule. Like I might have not kept up with that. Because in the second month also something like, well, one, I'm tired. I'm getting tired. And then two, also I had increasing moot court responsibilities. So from moot court, at least from my moot court, I had 4 hours of oral argument practice. And then, of course, you prepare outside of the assigned or scheduled 4 hours of oral argument practice. And then the reason we were doing this was because we were going to compete on behalf of Columbia against other schools. So it was kind of a big thing. But yeah, spending end of the week outlining, staying up to date with outlining was my goal. I think in the, so in the last month, and then also in the beginning, in the second month, so there's really 3 months in the semester. So in the second month, I started like taking practice exams at least once a week. I believe that's what I tried to do. And I tried to do this after classes or in between classes, because in the mornings I was doing my readings. So downside of it is that you're not really fresh, but also upside is you're training with kind of a not so fresh mind after classes. Classes for me were a little, it took a lot of mental resources because you're absorbing the material that your professor is telling you and like processing it, writing the notes. And then if you have three classes in a row-ish or in total, that's, you know, that's a lot of material that you're analyzing through and processing through. So doing exams in between classes or after classes, you're not in your freshest mental state. But the upside of that is they may feel easier when you're fresher. And if you do well in a state where you're not like mentally fresh, and that perhaps tricks your mind or trains your mind to think that or prepares your mind to be able to do this in, when you're mentally fresh and put yourself and set yourself up for great performance. If maybe there's some sort of psychological sound theory behind the benefits of doing something when you're tired, at least for mental tasks. Anyway, so yeah, in the second month, try to take some practice exams every week or so, like, or I tried to like take two practice exams ish, one for each course, or one for one course and another course every week ish you know, it was a little tiring. And then the last month I just tried to take a practice exam like as many as I can in the afternoons. I wouldn't take it every day. I think at least 3 days a week I tried to take it and then review it. And in the end, I think I ended up taking at least six practice exams for each of the three doctrinal courses. I had four classes to take in the semester. One was called Law and Contemporary Society. There was no final exam. It was just papers. And I largely didn't really do the readings. So, and I don't think, like, that class is, it's an interesting one. It's still three units, but like to do well in that class, it's hard to tell how much, like whether effort corresponds very closely with the performance in that class. It's targeted effort, I think, that might correlate with performance in that class. Anyway, maybe I'll do an episode on that class at some point. But the point is, that class, I didn't have to spend that much time studying for it. Perhaps not a good call on my part, but I just figured, given the structure of that class, and it was just two papers that I had to write, and I could choose whatever I wanted to write about for each of those two papers. I didn't think it was important that I like, did the readings for that class. And also, I think the professor, at least for that class, like it was a little bit harder to figure out what was going to go into that class, the evaluation of that class. Okay, man, I spent way too much time on that, discussing that class. Anyway, so three doctrinal classes that I was taking, and then took six practice exams for each, at least, probably a lot more for some of the classes than the others. But yeah, that was the goal. And I think the TAs that I talked to, they took at least two practice exams, so I definitely overshot. But the value of taking six practice exams for each of those courses was that, you know, I wasn't, I, it's not a one-to-one translation between how you do on your practice exam to the actual final exam, because this, what, you know, the questions are going to be different. But I think it did help me work on something that I wasn't that good at or natural at, which was just writing really fast and habitually structuring my sentence in a law school exam format. Like, and then getting practice with how to use your outline, that became a lot more habitual. So just building the habits that were not habits maybe my first semester as much, which were now habits in the second semester, so I was a little faster. And then I am, since I don't like being a passive learner, I think taking practice exams helped me become a more active learner. Me applying what I learned on an exam, I think, helped me learn the material more effectively and more durably. So I think that tip is particularly helpful for people who don't really like reading that much, what I call more passive learning. But then again, I had some friends who were just reading all the cases, didn't take that many practice exams, but they were still actively reading because they were taking notes. I don't think I enjoyed that as much, and it drained me a little bit more. So practice exams for me was a little more entertaining, and I learned the material, I think, in an effective way. I also, in my second semester, did not make my own outline. So my first semester, I tried to make my own outlines from scratch, mostly from scratch. And that took so much time, and so much time that I don't think it was worth it. Like, if the value of making your own outline purportedly comes from, since you're independently building the summarized material, you are relearning the material as you're building it. And then two, you also know how to reference your own outline better than somebody else's outline. Now, for me, since in the second semester, I decided I'm not going to make my own outline, but I won't necessarily lose those two benefits that I just listed if I use somebody else's outline, because when I use somebody else's outline and adapt it, I'm still reviewing that outline and then seeing, oh, what other things that the professor said do I need to add to this outline? But to do that, I also need to read the old outline and see what it's saying so that I can like cross match and then see if there's any duplicative stuff. So I'm still like learning the material as I'm building from this older outline. And then two, sometimes the old outlines that, and generally old outlines are from people who did well in the class. Old outlines know what they're talking about, and they spend some time like structuring the outline. So they've organized the material in a way perhaps that is better than the way I've organized it. And if it's not, then I can like mess around with it. And just reading the outline multiple times, because I am reading multiple times as I'm recreating and just reconstructing the outline using the old outline as a baseline and using it with practice exams, I am familiarizing myself with that old outline. So that second benefit of being able to reference it easily and quickly is something I'll still retain in the process of building from that old outline. And I think it worked for me. So I did not make my own outlines. I just got old outlines that I liked and that I got from the upperclassmen, and then built from there. That saved me a lot of time. And time is very important, because you have limited time, just 3 months to prepare for each final exam for each course. So yeah, did not make my own outline. The other thing I did was, so a difference between the first semester and second semester is that in the second semester, you have spring break, a whole week of just, you have a break. Thanksgiving comes close to it. You have like 2 days off, but spring break is a whole week. And I think everybody, or not everybody, a lot of people use the spring break differently. I used a spring break. Well, I had to compete in moot court. So, you know, I went to a different city and then we competed there. So that took some time. Like, a lot of the spring break was just spent preparing for moot court. But also, with the time that I had where I was not preparing for moot court, what I instead did was I tried to study at least two of my doctrinal classes in advance. So there were assigned readings for some of the classes, and I knew in advance what readings I had to do. But instead, what I did was I just studied the old outlines, read ahead to familiarize myself with the subject matter that would be covered in the weeks ahead. So like for property, I try to review everything to like, you know, the takings clause, the takings law. I read Penn Central, but I didn't read again the the cases itself. I just read what the old outline said about it, and I was familiarized myself with the concept in the case law that was going to be presented to me for each of the courses. So I read all of that, all of the material that was on the old outline for one of my classes, and then the other class, I just tried to get as far as possible with it by reviewing the old outline, but I didn't finish it. But I still got ahead into like familiarizing myself with the concept and case law that might be discussed. Again, I didn't read the cases, but I read the concept that were outlined in the old outline, the case law that was outlined in the old outline that we were going to cover ahead. Sorry, there's like fireworks, I think, going around. So hopefully that's... Yep. Anyway, I'm going to speak over it. What else? Oh, yeah. And I use supplements a lot in my second semester compared to the first semester. Supplements are like not case books that have cases. They are a reading material that it just explain the concepts in a doctrinal class. So for like contract, there'd be a supplement. A supplement would be... a supplement would be books that summarize the concepts and the cases. They just basically summary and just teach it to you in a very summary fashion. And I use supplements for every one of my classes. Every one of my classes. And I think it was more work, but it was beneficial in that it re-exposed me to the material, so that reinforced the material in my head. And then two, if it was confusing, the supplements would explain it in a more digestible manner too. In a way that's different from the professor, so that it might be easier for me to understand. So yeah, I use supplements. And I did not do that in the first semester at all. And I cut down on, in the second semester, I also cut down like the organization commitments. I just spent a little less time on the organizations. And I didn't apply to like lengthy scholarships like I did in my first semester. I mean, there's also some technology adjustments that I made in taking my second semester exams versus my first semester exams. I used to use a keyboard, an external keyboard in my first semester exams, but I ended up not doing that in the second semester. And I think the reason for that was my typing speed was actually a little faster in just using the inbuilt laptop keyboard, but also I think my posture was a little bit more natural. I would hunch a little bit if I use the inbuilt keyboard, but I think that felt a little more natural, and I could lean in and look at my monitor more closely if I use the inbuilt laptop rather than an external keyboard. And I would actually move around my laptop while I'm like taking the exam, like as I adjusted my posture here and there throughout the exam, like in the 3-hour exam period. So that's a lot easier to do with just a single laptop versus using an external keyboard and then adjusting your laptop as well. So yeah, those were the adjustments I did. To summarize, so second semester, woke up a lot earlier to do my readings, set a time limit, and then two, set time limits for reading cases, which helps or encourages someone, and me in particular, to be very efficient with my reading. I should also add that I didn't brief cases. Brief cases is like take notes on a case, and take notes in a very structured manner by noting what the facts were of the case, what the holding conclusion was, the reasoning was, taking like notes on every one of those cases in that manner. I did not do that. I just relied on my memory because, again, I would read those cases before classes, so I just rely on my fresh memory to be able to have a mental grasp of those components of the cases instead of using my case brief notes. So, okay, so set a time limit for reading cases. Three, spend a lot of time in between classes or after classes taking practice exams, such that I took at least 6 practice exams for every course. And then four, I outlined every week, meaning I built on my outline every week. I did, and then five, I did not make my own outlines. And then six, I used spring break to try to get ahead of the class, not reading the cases. I think I know some folks that try to read ahead. So they read the cases that were assigned in spring break so that, you know, they had the reading done in spring break when it would have been assigned like later on. But I just read, you know, concepts and case, summarized case law from old outlines and used, read the supplements for each of the courses. And where am I, 6 or 7? Let's say 6. Well, let's say 7, actually. I, you know, cut down a little bit on the organization commitment. Yeah, did less extraneous extracurricular stuff, although I had, especially because I also had boot court to focus on. And then 8, I did not use an external keyboard. Many of these factors may work for you and may not. Even then, you know, I didn't get super high. I didn't get the highest grades in this semester. There were people that did way better than me, but I did do, I think, notably better this semester, the second semester, compared to the first semester. But these were the tips that I used. I bet these work to varying degrees that I cannot quite measure for myself, and it might, may or may not work for you, but that's out there for you to use if you'd like. Sorry, these fireworks are a little distracting. Okay, I'll end it there for now. I think that's a good stop. There's probably gonna be a lot more fireworks that's gonna come soon, and I shared, I think, my tips generally, so most of my tips, I believe. Yeah. So in my next podcast episode, I'll talk about, I think, the recruiting process, maybe a little bit of like the mental adversity that, and describe the mental adversity that happens in law school, especially during the final exam period. So yeah, stay tuned. All right, guys, thanks for listening, and then I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.